You're listening to the UConn Honors Podcast. My name is Mukund Desibatla, and I'm a double major in physiology and neurobiology and Spanish. I'm here with my co-host, Vinayak.
Hello, everybody. This is Vinayak Mishra. I'm a junior studying molecular and cell biology with a minor in Spanish, and Mukund will introduce our special guest this week.
We're really excited to welcome Wawa Gatheru, who spearheaded the UCafe project, which is UConn Access to Food effort, which tackles food insecurity on campus. Wawa, would you like to elaborate on your project?
Sure. Hey, thank you for having me, by the way. So as we were just talking about, so I'm one of the co-founders of the UConn Access to Food effort, which began last year, during the last academic year, in fall of 2018. And I began that project with my co-founder, Abhishek Gupta, with the generous funds and helps from the Office of Undergraduate Research through the IDEA grant. And essentially, we began that project to first assess and address food insecurity on campus. Now, the initiative initially started as mainly a research project. We saw that not only was food insecurity, which is actually, let me define that real quick, food insecurity is lack of access to reliable and fresh and healthy food. Right. And it's an issue that is part of the new, quote unquote, economics of higher education, of increasing costs of higher education, along with more under traditional students entering into higher education, such as folks coming from low income housing that are dealing with these things, or low income households and coming to universities where access to federal aid is now not accessible to them. So with this issue that is now integral to higher education in the 21st century, we saw that there was a problem of the fact that it wasn't being researched, addressed, or even assessed at UConn, or really at any public institution of higher education in the state. So we said, okay, let's study this issue. Let's research this study amongst undergraduates here at UConn Storrs, and let's see what we can do to address it. And it really just grew from there, from being a research project and initiative, and grown into both a service initiative, but also has grown a policy arm and being able to help influence both state and federal policy. And now this year, it's transformed into a coalition of different membership organizations from across campus, including USG, SUBOG, PERG, amongst many other folks that are using their consecutive resources to help address this issue of food insecurity.
That's super interesting how you were able to start from like one academic year ago, and you've been getting so much done. Before we kind of like delve into your project more and like dissect it a little bit, what kind of got you interested in it? And also, like, what drove you to actually take this initiative to go forward? Because I feel like a lot of people are able to recognize these issues that are here at our UConn campus or anywhere in general, like in your community. But people don't actually like take like an active part in trying to make that change. And what kind of like drove you to make this idea come to fruition?
Absolutely. So I'd say there are two main reasons that got me interested in this project and really helped cultivate this passion that I now have. The first being that I was a research assistant in the Department of Nutritional Sciences the summer after my freshman year, and I continued that into my sophomore year. That was a part of an REU program that no longer takes place at UConn, tier, Bridging the Gap. Great program, by the way. And I was placed in a community nutrition lab within the Department of Nutritional Sciences. And there I was working on a project or helping transcribe interviews assessing household food insecurities. It was a graduate student project. In my independent project, I decided to assess the issue at college campuses because I saw that the literature was pretty limited, and I began to think, you know, what would this look like continuing beyond just taking part in literature reviews and looking at what other people have done and not done? What does it mean to then use that as a layout and as a foundation to actually assess this myself? So through those connections, through beginning to understand the metrics of food insecurity, I began to think of what I could do moving on. I then randomly met Abhishek. He was dealing with this issue through PERG, through being the chair structure the Hunger and Homelessness Committee and had really been assessing the issues of poverty and homelessness and food access from that lens, and also was becoming a bit frustrated with the fact that a lot of the resources that exist really leave out college students that might be experiencing this. So we found each other, decided to submit an application and like go with it, and ended up receiving the project. The second part of it is at the time I was very involved in student government. I last year was vice president of the student body, and from there I was really passionate and still am passionate about really ensuring that students were being addressed, especially the issues that students are having are being addressed. And it was just very frustrating for me that just from conversations that I was having with friends and acquaintances, it was very clear that this issue was happening. There wasn't a lot being done. So really that part of my brain in terms of being a problem solver and student leader, that really drove me to saying, okay, I'm going to, with this other person, try to do what we can to create a conversation and create solutions from there.
I think that's really amazing that from your experience in your nutritional lab, you were able to, essentially after meeting Abhishek, you found this intersection between UConn Perk / Tier 3 organizations and your passion. And I think that's really amazing that those things aligned and you ended up submitting an idea application. So I wanted to ask, how did you essentially, from your conversations with Abhishek initially, how were you able to form together this application, and what at least pushed you to apply for IDEA, at least to materialize this idea? Because it's you weren't able to put together a direction until applying for something for like the next year. So at least how did you conceptualize that?
Absolutely. So it's interesting because the way that we pictured UCafe, when we thought about, you know, the research component and the service component, when we were doing the application, it very much looked like 80% research and then like 20% at most service. And it's like turned into like varying percentages as time has gone on. But I think at that point in time, given our interests and where we were coming from with the issue, it maybe felt a lot more academic than anything else, right? Really like talking about food insecurity from a metric level, looking at what the USDA has done and assessed. Also critiquing the fact that even to this day, actually the USDA, which is United States Department of Agriculture, which assesses food insecurity, they actually only assess it on a household level. So there is no metric to assess food insecurity at a community level, at an individual level. So when you were trying to assess food insecurity at a college level, it's very experimental. So we were coming at it more from like an experimental research component of like trying to navigate the lack of metrics that exist. That said, I think coming from a lab was very, very helpful in terms of navigating that academic space. But looking back, I definitely could have been more, we could have been more intentional with the service components, but that ended up coming out more authentically in terms of dealing with the problem of researching it and then like seeing what we could tangibly do in the short term to address it through service, if that answers your question.
Right. And I mean, it's always like really tough trying to like have an idea and actually like make a plan to how you're going to like tackle it or how you're going to conceptualize it. And obviously, like, I think naturally it just becomes into something that is actually going to, if you have the right intentions, like it's going to turn into a project that is going to make a difference. And I think that's kind of what happened with your project. I guess what were some of like the hindrances that came in the way? Because I know like you went from like you thinking about this from your lab to like an idea grant to meeting with somebody else that also had the same idea to now it's like a state level / going to be a federal level thing. And so I know that's obviously going to bring in some type of difficulties to try to
And also like changes in what you, and you talked about this already, right? Like you came from a standpoint, you had this research foundation and you met someone involved in PERG and especially with your involvement in student government after, it became not just like a service component, but also it reached out. There was this outreach into legislation and policy. So I guess like what Vidaik is also trying to say is like how are you able to at least like what challenges met you on the way of pursuing at least the policy end of this?
You know, it's interesting. I think that the problems that came about in completing the application to, like, say, testifying in front of legislators and then having them, you know, question some of the nuance of the things that I wrote in my testimony and the things that I was talking about. And it's this issue of food insecurity, right? When you think of being on a college campus and access to food, the first thing you think of is, like, we have dining halls, right? And there is a lot of nuance to this issue because it is not a new issue, but it's absolutely new in regards to the conversation and the way that it's completely infiltrated 21st century higher education. And because there isn't a lot of literature on this, because there aren't a lot of resources for students that are experiencing an issue that is highly stigmatized and isn't talked about explicitly, it's very hard to then enter into a space to, one, convince folks to provide you $4,000 of funding to assess an issue that has never been assessed at a public institution of higher education. It's very difficult to testify in front of legislators and try to convince them to pass a bill or even give time for a bill that assesses an issue that they may have never even known to exist, right? There's a lot of nuance of that. And then also, like, coming from, I've not experienced food insecurity at college, right? So I also am coming from a privileged background of going to institutional decision-making tables and trying to bring the narratives and stories and really provide that storytelling of students and friends of mine that are trusting me with this information, and then going forward and trying to do justice with that while also saying, you know, I am providing you with this information, but there is also a fundamental there's something wrong with the fact that a lot of students aren't comfortable, don't have the resources to be able to, like, take a 3-hour round trip 913 bus to go testify at the CGA because they're working 25 hours a week and they're experiencing this issue and can't speak on their behalf even if they wanted to. And then, you know, nobody wants to, in, you know, in an arena like this, you know, go in front of people and have their notes be put in public record saying that they're dealing with hunger, because the way that it's been addressed in public spaces, it's, you know, people tell you that it's something to be ashamed of, that it's something that is a you problem, go work more, go do XYZ, without understanding the very, very how the structures that are put in place really disenfranchise a lot of students and really exasperate a lot of these problems that came before coming to college. But when you're in an institution like UConn, not my personal beliefs, but I do believe this, like, as an institution, you should be addressing issues that are fundamental now to the experience of folks involved in higher education in the 21st century.
I think that's really important. And also it's really tough for, especially because we all have the power to use our voices, but there seems to be this discomfort attached to at least the speaking to hunger. And I think at least like Vinayak, like he also mentioned about like the point of like hindrances along the way, like it's really tough, especially because it was an independent project that you took on. Kind of like an extension question to that is, why did you choose to approach this from like an independent standpoint and then converge with PERG-USG rather than, I guess, like, because your co-founder, Abhishek, he was also involved in Hunger Among the Homeless and like related projects in PERG. So how come it started off as an independent project rather than through other institutions?
You know, we had thought about that, right? Because both of us, had these connections to these big organizations on campus that we did conceptualize as being agents of change on this issue in the long term, and we've seen that effectively happen. But in terms of like initially starting a conversation in the name of sustainability, we didn't want this issue to come about as a conversation on campus as being necessarily connected to one organization or the other, to make it be siloed, is to say like only USG can deal with this, only PERG can deal with this. When you think of how pervasive this issue, it requires so many different agents. So we wanted to start the conversation and keep it neutral I guess, in a way where like anyone who wanted to get involved there on would not feel as though the avenues were limited to them or only are extremely binary of like you can only be in Imperg, you know, being Yushi. And like now we've seen like different people at the table. Yes, Yushi and Imperg are at the table where we're seeing folks that one aren't even affiliated with some tier threes. It's great, right, to get the tier threes as those folks that are fundamentally funded by student fees. So their work is for students by students, right? But also people from other organizations from across campus or not even being a part of organizations don't feel like there are barriers in their
they're excluded.
Exactly.
Right. That's actually really great how you started as like it being a student project so that more students can get involved. And also so you can like kind of get like a ton of different groups involved rather than trying to start with like a different organization, which only like certain group of students are part of. And like tackling this large issue, which I also believe is like a really large issue because students on college campuses shouldn't have to worry. Like the last thing they should worry about is like food.
Exactly.
You know, like there's so many other things. Like you have classes, you have like involvement, you have like so many other things that you have to worry about that it should come last. What kind of how has like this experience of you coming up with that this idea and making it so large, like how has that made you a leader and how has that affected you like as a student or leader like in the community and on like the UConn campus?
I think it's provided me a lot more insight and really humbled me in the fact that, like I've said, our project proposal and doing UCafe last year really with a team of two of us, that required a lot of flexibility of finding time. Like when we were doing pop-up food closets and collecting food the weeks before, like one of the weeks was literally finals week. So we were like studying during the day and then like spending like 5 hours collecting food and then storing it actually in my USG office. And then the morning of coming to the union 3 hours before the pop-up food closets and transporting the food up and down the stairs or the elevators if they were open. So I am even beyond that, you know, when you're addressing an issue that is understudied and an issue that both of us hadn't experienced at UConn and being influenced, not just from a research perspective, but in the conversations of talking with friends of mine in which I've like now been able to go back and be like, oh my God, this is food insecurity, or like say like being at the pop-up food closets and having people talk to us and be really authentic and bring their whole selves into that space and feel comfortable telling us what they're going through, that has absolutely shaped how we've moved forward. And I think for me, when I think about how UCafe has impacted me as a leader and how I want to be a leader, you know, I'm an environmental studies major. And I feel like even though it's an interdisciplinary field of study and major, I always, the way that I've categorized myself as an environmental justice person, I had always thought of food from one standpoint and not necessarily included the food insecurity lens within my arena of work or what I perceive myself as being an agent of change in. So as I've dove deeper into this issue of campus food insecurity and like now understanding the policy nuance that or the lack of policy that helps exacerbate the issue and what needs to be done to address that, I've now been more influenced of saying, you know, if I really want to be an agent of change and really like eradicate this issue, this isn't just dealing with it on a college institutional basis. This is also addressing the issue of poverty from a larger standpoint. And that's absolutely been one of my drivers in terms of going to Oxford next year. One of the programs that I'm proposing doing is like quite literally a program. It's a social policy degree where I actually decided to pursue that program because one of the leading professors in that department is dealing with food insecurity in the United Kingdom. And that absolutely like was the reason why I decided to propose that program. So it's been very, very influential for me.
Mm-hmm. I think that's amazing that you were able to at least identify a study because you wanted to look at food through a specific lens, but at the point in time that you did, you did not have the full picture in mind. And through this process, you were able to not only make your project grow, but catalyze growth as a leader within yourself. And I think That is especially important. And congrats again. Next year, it's going to be absolutely an incredible opportunity to at least look at this on the international scale as well.
Exactly.
And I think it's just seeing like the point, the trajectory, the point of origin, all the way up to where you are now. That is amazing. And the most important thing is this all wraps around UConn resources that were able to help you grow, mm-hmm. the Idea Grant, administrators on campus. So kind of a very open-ended question here. How do you suggest that students that want to get involved in UCafe or any similar type of research, where should they start and how should they approach this?
I think, well, one, I'm also biased because I used to work for the Office of Undergraduate Research, so I've given the spiel. But I really do believe the Office of Undergraduate Research is absolutely a resource that students should be able to feel comfortable utilizing. Great staff. You know, the lead person for IDEA is Melissa Berkey, and I have so much love for her and her dealing with all of us in our projects. I mean, I'm going on a tangent, but, you know, UCafe, you can, like, talk about all these successes, but please let it be heard that, you know, there's a lot of things that went on, you know, under the covers where things didn't always go as well as we wanted to, and we learned from that. But in terms of students and what you want to do, I think it's really important to, like, maybe sit down and think about projects that you're interested in taking part of outside of the classroom. UConn, obviously, we're here to be students, and our academics do come first. When you think of student leader, student comes first. But UConn has so many opportunities and so many resources, like you were talking about, to really expand beyond the classroom and allow you to be able to use those resources to really dive into these questions that you might only be addressing from a theoretical standpoint. And I think something that a lot of students, myself included, sometimes I felt like there was pressure to be involved with certain projects over others. And I feel like this is your opportunity to say, like, you're an environmental studies major, like, apply for an IDEA grant to, like, create an album. Like, you have so much opportunity to, like, really just dive into something that you have minimal or a lot of interest in, and that is an opportunity that you might not have after this, and you never know where that will lead you. So I'd say don't be afraid or feel as though you're not qualified to dive into these issues. We assess an issue that had never been studied at a public institution of higher education in the state, right? And, like, you can do whatever you want. And what's cool is, like, it's not just, like, research that you have to do. If you want to do a creative project, you can go ahead and do that. And I think the first step is sitting down, writing down the things that you're interested in potentially pursuing, and, you know, making an appointment with someone at the OUR, or, like, talking to students that have gone through the same process, and really just work out what you want to go towards, and, like, figure out what program works best for you and work from there.
Thank you for those really wise words. And I think definitely from your story, a lot of us listeners can understand that it is a very approachable process, being able to ask for help and help materialize a project. But at the end, it's very rewarding and humbling. So again, thank you, Wawa, for coming onto our show and sharing your story with us. And I hope if the listeners want to get in touch with Wawa about getting involved in UCafe or any similar type of research, her contact details will be down below. Thank you again for listening. We'll be back next week with the new story.